is KLBPLP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on Pine and online at klbp.org. You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani. Hey, hey, let's enter into the Joy Zone with these Indie Creators.
Follow the sun, and which way the wind blows, when this day is done. Breathe, breathe in the air, set your intentions, dream with care. Tomorrow's a new day for everyone.
Hey, hey, let's enter into the Joy Zone with these Indie Creators.
A brand new moon and brand new sun.
Now we got a very dynamic individual in the booth here in the studio. We have the very dynamic injured Sean Hill.
And this man in general is really good about changing people's perspective.
Find that mic. Let's see if it's working for you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That one. Yeah, so you'll have to sit back a little bit.
Oh, I have to get comfy in here. I have to get cozy?
Yeah. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Your sound is good.
Thanks.
Much better than it was the last time we were in here. We're going to hear you loud and clear now.
I remember that. Yeah, that was back in 1934. Remember those jokes? Oh, good times.
So when you walk 2 miles to school in the snow.
So what are you doing, man? You coming up with more riffs? What do you call?
Poems?
Poems.
Look at you. You're so deep. You don't even know the word for poem anymore. Look at you.
Riff.
I was thinking like something like a, you know, something, some special name for what you do.
It is special.
It is. It
special
is.
Name.
Yeah. I guess, you know what? That already brings up a great topic in terms of words and how much we don't appreciate them sometimes. A poem is a magnificent creature.
Absolutely.
And so many people forget how beautiful they are until they hear one again.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, I forgot how much I love that. And I was talking with Dina earlier. She used to write poems.
Oh. And
right?
So this
ice
will be interesting.
Poems?
Ice cream poems. Well, her ice cream recipes have a lot of whimsy to them. They'd be fun to create a poem.
They'd be
too.
So cute.
I like to do that, like make little haikus with like about food or just even one element of food.
I like that. Food haikus.
But you know, it's interesting. The other day that Thomas and I were talking, he would say, "Do you?" Because I write poetry, but he's like, "Do you ever recite them?" I said, "I never recite my own poems." I've had to memorize others, but then I was like, I don't know why. And I thought maybe
right
you could shed some light on us, the value of reciting.
You don't need to put them on
poetry.
If you don't want to.
I mean,
yeah, we're good.
Yeah?
Thank you, Ron.
You can if you want.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I already have my own headset right here.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you were getting...
It looks better. Your hair looks better. We got to have the full experience.
To be more specific with a word, what is a word?
What is a word? Gosh, that's beautiful. In terms of an arbitrary symbol.
Nice.
That's probably the best thing I could call it. It's an arbitrary symbol for whatever we want to define it. I mean, words are basically anything that can be loaded with an emotion, with a thought, with an idea. And we spout them out at people, we share them with people, assuming that the word means the same thing to us that it means to them, right?
Context, right?
And that's where context, connotation, denotation all come into place, right?
Yeah, which could create mishaps left and right. Right?
Could.
Let me tell you. Basically, because of words.
It definitely has.
Well, because
I like the way you're like, it maybe could. It possibly does. Maybe. Yeah, go ahead.
No. It doesn't really matter. You guys are having too much fun. The point is, you haven't really said much, but what you did say up through the few words that you used meant something.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. You can make a word, you can support it with whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
Because it is just a symbol. It's static until you give it, until you have some life force moving up through it.
Mm.
Right? Because the word is not the starting point. The word is the ending point.
Well, it depends. Because even the thought, we're thinking in words a lot.
What does that mean? Yeah, that's right? a pretty deep contemplation. The word is not the starting point, it's the ending point.
Right? So if we're thinking in words, though, and those thoughts represent these already these symbols that we have of what these words mean and that we were brought up with,
right,
then they already are loaded with so much information that we don't even understand yet fully, subconsciously or consciously, to get to a point where we say that thought now as a word, right? And it's now it's the ending point, kind of, sort of, because then, even then, we're waiting until someone receives that word.
Right.
So it's very like, not selfish, it has a negative connotation, but it's very, it's almost like egocentric.
Watch the hand in front of your face, otherwise you won't see your beautiful face in that
thanks
camera.
You. Thanks. I exfoliate. So the thing is, though, to get to a place
and
where
that,
we...
And that knee might be upstaging your face, too. There you go.
Oh, no, but I'm so comfortable, y'all. Like,
there you go. You're good now.
Yeah.
He wants you to have a full good photo op.
No, you're getting to something, though, because...
Tom is always looking out for me. Yeah,
well, before we have words,
yeah,
babies communicate on many, many different all levels, right? So they don't have words. How do you explain that? So whatever the gaga, whatever the gaga goo goo is,
sound frequency.
It's an expression of some necessity,
right?
So that need or that platform of needing before we can even speak or feel is relevant, very much to what you do, I would imagine.
Yeah, symbols. Symbols, right? I'm gonna give you some snaps for that.
Yeah, but that's not the performance aspect of it. You can write a poem and it can just sit there on a page,
right?
Right. But then you get on stage and you bring that thing to life. So you must be coming onto the stage prepared with a particular way in which you'd like your audience to feel something.
You know what? This makes sense. One door closes, another one opens, hoping that quote makes you happy, but it won't unless you have the key, gotta see every door to even explore your options. No need to wait to adopt a new philosophy. I know there's this part of you that wants to let go immediately of what you normally do, of what you normally allow yourself to be. It starts now with this breath, this very breath right now. No need for another door, yours works just fine. So silly how we forget our own determined beauty. Mm. Happiness is a choice, like grabbing the door. Grab a new thought, embrace your energy, turn the key, breathe, turn that key, please, breathe.
Dude, I got goose pebbles.
Right? So I figure I'll give you an example of what we're talking about. You know what I mean? And that was a sample from a song I did way back called Breathe. And how beautiful it is to be reminded of that in this conversation right now.
See, you just verified that something has to precede your work.
Right.
Something precedes the words that we speak to each other. There's always some sense of what we need for ourselves that allows us to need the words, yeah?
Yeah, but I still, you know what, I guess I'm getting confused when you put that need before the words. You know, it feels like you're saying that's more important. Am I assuming incorrectly?
Well, I would say, what would your words be without that?
Well, that's the beauty. We don't have to wonder that. We have them working in tandem. They're best friends, thoughts and words.
Nice. They're dancing.
Oh, I love when you talk poetic. Oh, they are dancing. This never-ending, beautiful, metaphoric dance, right? This dance of simile and predicate and verbs and adjectives and all these things that line up so we can actually say something precisely how we're feeling or thinking, right? But then we always get frustrated when we're like, oh, wait, do you understand what I mean? I don't know if I said that right.
But here's something else for you to chew on. Why is that important?
What is all the disconnect? What do you mean, why is this all important?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I know what he's doing. He's doing the angel advocate thing. I'm not calling it a devil advocate. It's angel advocate.
No, I'm not deviling it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying why... Why any words whatsoever? What is our need? What was our need to... What do you think our original need is to even come up with language? Mm. So many different languages.
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.
What was that? What is that impetus?
the universe is just light and sound. So not just, I don't really like the word just because it minimizes things, but we're light and sound. So we have a need to vibrate. And all of a sudden it's like, imagine you're just a subatomic particle. And then all of a sudden you've taken form in a human body and you can orate. That's kind of exciting versus just oscillating and magnetizing to is it a neutron?
But there must have been somebody.
A proton?
Yeah.
Like, who was the first person to put together a sentence? And what was the impetus or the need to even do that in the first place? You know, what's been our struggle to even get to the origin of your mastery?
I'll tell you right now.
Curiosity.
Does that not make sense?
What'd you say?
Exactly.
Curiosity.
Everything I just said to you just now, visually and mentally, you could understand to some point, right? But I think for words, I think we kept trying to struggle with as many languages as we can, as many places and geographies as we've grown up in being as full human beings, to find any form of communication where we can keep expressing and keep finding ways to fine-tune that. Whether it's music, art, whatever it is, people can craft something out of wood. And they feel full in that. They feel complete in doing that.
Right.
So it's any and all forms of communication. I don't even think languages, it's like almost insulting to languages to say we needed to come up with language to express ourselves. We came up with everything to express ourselves.
And what do you think that basis was for?
I don't know. Unity, love, connection.
Thank you.
Understanding.
Thank you.
Empathy, compassion.
Thank you.
So many great
Well,
ones.
Also, as, you, as you. You're sharing, it's a way to share an aspect of yourself, but especially like spoken word and poetry, you're actually sharing something deep from in your soul to someone else or out to all. And that expression is pretty a way to expose the intimacy from within to the out.
Young man, you're a special man.
Oh, thank
I mean,
you.
You're a special guy because you just glossed over the reason why we even talk.
Yeah.
And you said something, you said unity, and then you said love. And what are those two things doing simultaneously, unity and love? What is that?
I think they're always in a state of this this uniquely beautiful entropy, right? And they're kind of finding their balance within each other all the time. And I think...
For the purpose of?
Of just existing, coexisting. Sometimes I think that's hard enough.
Coexisting. So you just said another word. You just said another word.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Unity,
that's what I'm here for. Thomas,
love,
here for.
Coexistence.
Right.
Now even now we're not including hate speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not delegating like only nice talk.
Right.
But even in an angry fit, there's something within us that wants to free us from where we are to get somewhere else. And ideally and optimally, that's back to this place of love, unity, and our ability to coexist and to thrive and to expand and to create. But that creative thing is not like a given. The creative thing requires a particular type of perspective in order to keep it vibrant and expanding. So we're all like working towards this creative thing, but the base of it, hey, if we want to all be together, we want to coexist, how are we going to do it? And we go to our words.
Yeah.
We go to our deep need to try to find balance with each other. And it's in finding balance that love actually happens. It's the balance of it. When we achieve the balance of it, through conversation, through good debate, now we have a purpose to speak. Now these words take on a significance of a grand significance. And you can tell throughout literature, you're probably a very well-read young man. But not all literature survives. Yeah. Not everything we write lasts.
There's a lot of books that were burned in our history that we'll never have the joy of discovering, you know? Yeah.
Or just didn't make it.
Just didn't make it, right?
Because there was an element in it that was missing.
Yeah.
Because maybe the writer was working for a result as opposed to realizing that, hey, this piece is actually bringing the reader into balance with something else, maybe some other aspect of themselves. Because like every writer... An intentional writer will go to work. Like, I don't know if you're...
I thought you were going to say about the writers that never made it, that never even wanted to put their ideas down because they didn't find the worth in them, you know?
Oh,
those kind of. I thought you were going to go there with that. But yeah, I know what you mean.
So it's kind of like, so
art,
so like if you go out onto the stage, like you're a performing artist, you're an actor, you're
a man that
the world needs to hear. You're a young man that the world needs to hear, and it's kind of like, if you understand that purpose, like I'm going out there not for myself, but I'm going out there to unify an audience in my vision.
Right, right.
There's a way in which you have to perceive that in order to make those words effective. Perceive that relationship with that audience. That relationship with that audience has to come first for your best stuff, right?
Well, you know what? Now you're glossing over a lot of things that are heavy.
Bring me back.
So much lip gloss right now. So much gloss. It's you know what? And even my demeanor right now, I recognize that it can also be taken as full of ego and things like that. But I know there's a comfort in knowing and being at peace with what we know and understand already, and then that joy in experiencing it, right? So I almost want to say that in terms of these words and these ideas that we talk about, and whenever someone says to me something like that where I'm special or I have these ideas that need to get shared, I remind myself that I'm not the only one, that there's so many ideas that are already out there. I wish I didn't have to do what I did. That's the sad, beautiful part, right? Mm. Where I wish I didn't have to do this work of unifying and reminding us that we're already connected. I wish I didn't have to dive into this work as much as I need to right now.
Then what's the need for speech, then? Then you don't need the
speech. But that's the thing, is that we've forgotten so much of that, or we're being misinformed by people, or we were brought up in a way that just hurt us, and we had to unlearn so many things that were so painful to take in. And we're at this place now where as much as words matter, I think critical thinking and understanding are almost trumping that. They're almost making that more important to actually care about more about each other right here than if I'm right or wrong about an idea, or if you're right or wrong about something.
Hence,
we care more about each other.
Hence, keeping
than
us
right or wrong.
Keeping us what? Balanced. Together.
Yeah, yeah.
A clan. A clan of a clan of several billion, ideally.
Absolutely.
And so we, theoretically, we're a clan of several billion.
Yeah.
We may go, certain cultures may value certain things more than others, but that's because that's what allows them to stay together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like within whatever their circumstances might be, their speech and their actions reflect what their necessities are, and the
more or less what they've learned to be necessities, right?
In order to keep them together,
yeah,
right.
Well, so, I would say the value, you know, as you're like access, because I love words, like I like listening to scientific terminology. It actually excites me to even just be able to, as a linguist, be able to speak them. But right now we're like kind of in a place where, you know, people speak in acronyms that you could not understand. And we aren't willing to speak to one another.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
In what way? We're speaking to each other all the time.
Well, I...
So what do you mean? I'm so curious.
I mean, a lot of people, if you don't agree with me, not you, but the collective you, you may not want to talk to me.
Ah, right.
You know, so, you know, a lot of our society is closed off because they're like, ooh, it used to be you could have debate forum. You could do a spoken word prose and it would cultivate conversation. We could actually take apart what you just said and say, this is how I interpreted it. This is how I interpret it. Probably similar to how you do with your scene studies with characters and the story, is everyone has to give their interpretation. And then how do you actually execute it, right?
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.
Well, the ability to execute it makes that a performing artist, because they understand with an audience how to execute it. And that's what makes that performing artist unique in society, because when all eyes are on that individual, they're still able to go to the thing that allows that nuance to be communicated.
But imagine if every day we were the performing artist and really thought, how am I communicating to my audience?
Yeah.
And how am I going to use my words to actually help them understand what I'm trying to communicate?
Oh, they're lying, 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 lying. Oh, I'm lying.
We have a guest here that's very excited, and he made me ring the bell, because I'm over here like,
I was like,
trying to
ring that bell for that.
They get it, I don't get it. I'm sitting here, what?
What you just said was, that's, to me, that's an inner peace, world peace moment right there.
Right.
Where if we imagine the full impact our words have on each other, every single day, how much every single word matters, and how we say it, and what we mean by it. There are not so many suicides, not so many depressed people, right. not so many isolated people. We'd actually want to talk, and we know how to listen, we know how to care, because we're practicing how to give that and receive that. You know, that's huge. You're talking about life-saving philosophies right now.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. We should all sign up for acting class, because that's, to me, whenever I listen to Thomas teach, or even when you come on and share your spoken word and engage me into a reality of life, that I wish we could all day long, you know, speak from that. But a lot of people don't have that courage to put themselves out there.
Yeah.
But the from a Buddhist perspective or yogic perspective or the Tao or the Zen, you understand that there is a cause and effect with our thoughts, with our words and our actions. So it starts here, and then how do we put it out? And a lot of people aren't in harmony with what's in their head and what comes out of their mouth. But if we can bring that into harmony and really think, oh, I want you to understand and hear this, but where are you listening from? Where are you coming from? And how do I adjust my words so you can hear me?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. But here's a little artistic reality in terms of that. What you like and what you don't like, or if a person is not liking something or they are liking something, that's more indicative of where they're at. They're in relative mind. They're in dualistic perspective. They're in an associative mind or formatory apparatus. So you can already assess their state of mind based on how they're trying to make it a right or a left thing.
I'm going to Google a few of those words just to let you know. Formatory. I was like, I've got to Google that.
Relative mind is what the Chinese and the Zen people call dualistic mind.
That's all that is.
Formatory apparatus is something that a metaphysician by the name of Gurdjieff would label the dualistic mind, the formatory apparatus, the part that goes right, left.
The
cool thing about the artist or a poet like you and you is that these words, how they're assembled, and you not being in that dualistic mind has the possibility of taking your audience out of their dualistic mind.
Correct.
Which takes them out of their file cabinet of a mind. And then we have it. Now we have an audience elevated, all tapping into that universal thread that ties us all together.
Right. And ready to experience something different.
They're not going to experience something different. They're going to experience what we're all experiencing, because once that universal chord gets struck, we are sensing and feeling simultaneously.
Well, I meant out of duality.
Yeah.
So that's the.
I meant out of duality.
You don't get to be conscious of the universal connection in duality. It's sort of a moot point.
I'm just putting like letting people know we were talking about being in a non-dualistic
being
space.
Being aware of your awareness, kind of deal. Yeah, we're getting metaphysical now.
That's why you're here. That's why we're here. We can have this conversation. Otherwise, we can't even get close to it because of what you do and the magic that you work with your symbols up through your sensibility and how you want to impact me. Or her, or 1,000, or 10,000, or a bazillion people, based on what medium you're going to wind up in. Whether you're a politician talking to the people from the heart, the heart, and unifying your people, and then hopefully unifying everybody, and hopefully using that in a way that helps us stay together and be better. But as an artist or as a poet, you guys are like, you know what's so cool about poetry is that the juxtaposition of those words.
Yeah.
Simply uttered can help us wake up, like, and we don't even know how the hell you just did that. Because when you take us on those symbolic journeys, you're using the symbols of the words to create a greater understanding, and then you're taking those greater understandings and putting them and piecing them together, and they all add up to something else. Like the Tao Te Ching.
Yeah.
How that's written, and get a good interpretation of the Tao Te Ching. And oh my God, like you have the one phrase, right? And it seems to be completely disconnected from the next phrase. Right. And then you sit there and you study the next phrase, and all of a sudden you got the third phrase, which is the result of the rhythm of this particular whatever structure that they're using. And it all adds up to this huge universal concept.
Yes.
That you can't even put into words. It had to be put into an abstract of symbols. Like colors, like a red. Okay, that's a red. And then this next pentameter or whatever you would call it is a blue.
Right.
And then those things mix together in the mind and the concept, and all of a sudden it's like, oh shit. Oh shit. Right?
Yeah.
And then it becomes, and the poetry becomes like this wonderful representation of a paradox.
It becomes purple? What did you say?
The red, like, and the
red,
blue.
Red, and blue.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah,
I
but how it. Difficult is it I to really it. Explain the yeah. human condition?
No, it's really
only
simple.
Through this paradox yeah. and this hypocrisy of being a human, because there's so many elements that are going into allowing us just to get along together. You know
what? I'm going to have to come up here and interview you one day. Like, that's what I'm going to have to do.
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your host, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artivani.
I think, actually, yeah. if you could pull out another... riff, as Thomas called it. Is that what you called it
yeah,
earlier?
You like the riffs?
Because like I think because as we're thinking, talking about this, guitar. It's kind of like, you know, a bunch of people sitting around drinking tea and we're philosophically discussing something.
I don't know. That's pretty spot on. Because right. we went to the origin of words, origin of symbols, or the why we speak, the purpose of speaking. You nailed it. Unification, coexistence, keeping us together.
Yeah. You know, I nailed it. You hammered it. And you
and so
it
now
over
let's
there.
Let's play.
You
yeah,
plywooded it. You plywooded it.
Plywooded it.
I'm losing metaphors. There's so many metaphors right now.
Do another poem.
Yeah, and also real quick, I want to jump in on even how you presented how many people are willing to put, you know, that have the courage. You said about using these words properly or as best they can, right? And I always notice how we can focus on something that is lacking and feel like there's so many people not doing that. But as soon as you find out about things like nonviolent communication,
right,
and those kind of groups that are happening all the time,
we had some nonviolent.
Yeah, we had
so
some.
The thing is, I remind myself there's a lot of people doing that work on the other end too.
That's
and
true.
So that if you need motivation, that helps sometimes for people.
Yeah,
I know that's helped me out. Where if I focus on everything negative happening, right, people that aren't doing things, why would I want to get up and do something?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So there's so many people doing more things that
absolutely,
we don't even know about.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's that'd be a great moment to point to clear out to clarify.
Clarify, absolutely.
Jinx to myself.
And just speak to the fact that, you know, even in spoken word, there's things like Toastmasters, there's spoken word nights that where you could get up on stage and
actually
experiment saying one of your poems, or you know, you can have a lot of fun with spoken word.
Yeah.
And there's meetup groups everywhere that has any interest.
Literally
nonviolent communication. So, yeah, thank you for pointing that
You're
out.
You're welcome.
The glass is full.
Right? More than we even know. Oh, my gosh. All right, so you want another one, huh? Another riff?
A riff.
Another
well,
riff?
Listen, I was just going to say, though. I mean, the power of the poet is just not for the spoken word artist. Power of the poet. You can be a poet doctor, a poet cop, a poet. Mm. You can. The poetry comes out of...
That poet clock cop. Mm.
Yeah,
just got off the clock.
That's so good.
Eating a donut.
Yeah, but
that's amazing.
Isn't it really how you're seeing the world and how you're collecting those images and staying out of the way and letting them kind of build up, and all of a sudden out comes something that lands. And if you know if you're communicating to people, ideally, you're a freaking poet.
Yeah, I mean, it's the artistic mind in general. To be general and simplistic about it, I've talked to friends of mine that are cops, that are lawyers, that have the funniest mindset, that can tell you a story, like they're there, you know, they put you in the place there. And it's so amazing to see these storytellers that are just everyday people. So again, it's like you said, it is a mind state. It is a willingness also, I think, a willingness to explore that too. And I feel like this ties in with that one, actually. Yeah, y'all ready?
Get that camera on him. Get a dual shot of this guy. Multiple cameras. That's coming out of him.
I saw a drive-by of shooting stars as she walks five blocks in high tops, her lips locked, and stops by a bus stop. The sound of hip-hop from a car and a teen's flip-flops from afar drown out of her mind. She finds herself paralyzed, a situation she needs to analyze. A passerby looks into her eyes and wonders vicariously what her sight is inhaling. Her head is tilted to the left a bit. An awkward pose, as many know, but the glow in her eyes puts the average guy in surprise with a curious, lifeless light bulb floating just inches above their hairline. She's not fine, fly, fat, fresh, or even ripe. She stands still now, staring, as if she's seen a dream-filled mountaintop. A single solitary raindrop. Or maybe just a person whose personal aura personified the perception of love. And I see her standing there, stuck on the street in memory lane. I was about to make a left in my brain, but she made me pause like the same button used for play. This day, something was unique, and the words wouldn't come from me to speak, and I wanted to yell out to her, ask what she saw. But I hesitated and debated whether or not my direction she would even direct her attention to, but something she made me see in myself was more than enough trouble. I'd use glue just to make it fit, and so I sit on this curb, perturbed by her essence of this truth that she sees and this daze that she's in. And I'm swimming in thoughts, like arm, breath, and just when I think I can catch the side of her pupil, the mere force of her presence repels my pressure, but at the same time, it leaves my effort pleasantly satisfied, because you see, I tried to reach her. I tried to reach this simple, obvious woman of a complicated paradise. I tried to reach her. And so I stand up from this curb and dust off the debris of this memory and remind myself that every tomorrow is a new way to find today. Thanks again for listening, y'all.
Wow. Now I want to read it.
So, of course, just to start out our next level of conversation, the name of that one is called In Her Peace. And you say it really fast. What do you get?
In Her Peace.
In Her Peace. In Her Peace.
Yep.
Wow.
Inner peace.
Questions, comments, considerations, because this kind of piece is something that I do at schools, and I make sure to have dialogue about it. When you said about scene study, that happens every single day with poetry.
Right.
We're scene studying poetry all the time. Every open mic is a scene study. Every event I host is a scene study, because we talk about these things afterwards.
Right. Well, that's one of the fun things that you can experience in college, like the philosophical discussion. That's what I was talking about. Like, you, it's fun to be able to, like, just examine what is. Like, I want to read what you just said to me,
right,
because I'm a visual, like, I'm like, wow, you know, I feel it, and I'm stuck at certain spots, you
good,
know?
Good, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're supposed to get stuck at certain spots.
Yeah.
You want to revisit again, and that builds up the desire again to dive more into yourself for whatever that piece did for you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad you said that. Anything else?
Well, can you share a little bit with how the kids respond when you work with the elementary school, how this awakens them?
Yeah, not even elementary. This is elementary. Sometimes
elementary, I'm old.
Sometimes.
You just awoken me.
Middle school
good
is
Lord
amazing.
You
and I'm wearing also, as a shout out, I got to wear a shout out to Vanguard.
At Joy Score Inc. If you
are you a
watch
Chippendale
this
dancer?
At
Joy or what's
Score.
First
at Joy
of all,
Score.
That was very gender inequal of you, okay? Just because of that.
That's Suzanne Toro. That's Suzanne Toro official.
Okay.
I'm going to watch the full production.
Well, I didn't call you a
right
Playboy
now
bunny.
No. Oh, my gosh. Suzanne. No, but the thing is, Vanguard Prep was one of the schools I visited last year. You are going to have that
sorry
for like the next
well, I'm like, how can I make, I how can I make
I
it gender neutral?
Yeah.
I better include the Playboys with the
well
Chippendales.
Thank you for that. No, that means a lot. That means, okay. I hope they're not watching this now, because now it feels weird. Like,
no.
Yeah,
forget those characters. Let's go back to the elementary school and what happens.
You're clearly doing something for her
apparently
over there.
Apparently.
Your charisma.
Oh, my God. No, but the thing is, this is the beautiful part, is that middle school is it's amazing hit and miss, because a lot of kids will get it. A lot of students will understand. I don't even like calling them kids, right? Sometimes they don't like being called kids. So a lot of students, even at Vanguard Prep in Apple Valley, they were so open to it. And they were so quiet and attentive to trying to take in as much as they can, because they know something special is happening. They know some kind of story they want to grab is happening, right?
Right.
One of the first times I shared it was at Oscar De La Hoya High School. And I started teaching there after this, actually. And it was really impactful because I remember one kid right in the front seat. I still remember her face and everything. That when I got to the swimming in thoughts part, and it gets really intense there, I just tried not to laugh in my mind, okay? Because she was like, and like she was feeling every single second of the story. And that makes me feel so fulfilled as an artist when someone's just trying to understand what you're saying. And they're trying to at least take in what you're saying.
I think you went past trying. I think she got it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You never know. A lot of people will feel intense emotions and be like, what did that poem mean? I just felt a lot, but I don't know what just happened.
Well, they weren't feeling the poem at all. They were feeling you.
Right.
Through the words.
Our mutual collective consciousness.
That's right, baby. That lets you know you're in the right place.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you're doing your work.
And I think in colleges, I just hosted CSUN's Expressions recently. And in that college, it's a moment where I think there's just absolute stillness. I think there's a lot of students there. They know they came there for a reason. They know they were feeling whatever kind of drag in life or whatever kind of things they were missing, or you know, they wanted some fun for sure after like a 12-hour day of classes, and they just want to soak it in and feel good and feel connected again to themselves, to others. It was such a great turnout last time where people shared everything from music to comedy. Sometimes we'll have modern dancers to share something. Mm. It literally is an open mic. And so to answer that question, yeah, of all walks of life, all ages, it doesn't get old to me to see people be vulnerable, share something, and then connect with everyone else in that room. Because you know, the more you share with someone, the more you share in general with more people in general,
right,
you're bound to find someone that connects with you.
Absolutely.
You're bound to not feel empty anymore.
Hey, you can take the accident out of there. You seemingly are. You know you can guarantee a universal connection if you are in that space that unifies us.
Yeah.
And that's the magic of a great singer. Whatever platform, that's the magic of a great actor. That's a greater magic of a great dancer.
Yeah,
that somehow we're defining, or great athlete. Those guys show up wherever they happen to show up, and all of a sudden we're riveted.
Right.
We're riveted. We're like, wow, this is entertainment. This is something.
This is KLBPLP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on Pine and online at klbp.org. Hey, let's enter into the joy zone with these indie creators.
That's going to remove
entertainment.
That's
right?
going to remove.
Well, it stays with you.
It's going to remove that relative mind or that formatory apparatus or that dualistic, that dualistic feature, and we go, wow, I'm going to pay for that.
Yeah,
I'm going to pay to be transported into this wonderful little moment with a bunch of people.
Right. Mm.
Through you. Through your leadership.
Yeah.
And that's what you are. When you're up on a stage, you're leading us all into whatever mantra you've decided to take us through.
Right.
Whether it's through movement or through voice or using... The ancients look at poetry as making pastime present.
Ooh. Mm.
That's a quote from somebody extraordinary. That's an ancient. That's a Zen.
Yeah.
That might be Lao Tzu.
Well, it's a lot better than I remember some ancient Greeks that said poetry is the signs of like a madman invigorating us with such life and imaginative stories that we become delusional.
What
there was like some ideas like that. That was crazy.
To an academic stuck in his head.
Right.
In order for him to contemplate that level of freedom, that level of fearlessness, you would have to be crazy from his perspective.
Right.
But from the artist's perspective, we have to enter into that space. We have to leap. We have to jump in. We have to dare that we don't know what we know and see what happens.
And invite everyone else in.
To an academic?
The water is not
to
that
somebody
cold,
stuck
y'all.
In their head?
Yeah.
They may not even be able to get out of their analysis of what you just said or what you just did or be more concerned whether it's a perfect iambic pentameter or whether it's fitting into somebody else's form.
Yeah.
Whereas you just redefine form based on the quality of the experience you just created.
Right.
And that's culture being born out of you in that moment. A lot of people look at culture as something in the past. No, culture is being redefined moment to moment by anybody ballsy enough, fearless enough to step into the moment.
Yeah.
And see it with a fresh pair of eyes and redefine the rules based on what's needed, not what has gone past.
Right.
Well, the culture to me is really a miss because it's usually referenced to historical reference.
Well, yeah. Culture is what a community exhibits in creative process. Like, you go to like Guatemala to see the textiles and how they weave them and the technique and the creation energy with it, or you might go to Greece and see the food that they make. You know, that's the culture. Right. So it should be redefined in every single moment. You know, right now what we have is a lot of pop culture, you know?
And constantly in flux.
Right,
and even the pop culture will find its way into a unique expression through whatever that individual has experienced.
Yeah.
And however it's expressed, but the common denominator is, does that person take us all on that journey with them? Mm-hmm. And the big mystery is how are they doing that? And that's what says that person's talented. That person. And talent, for me, at this point, is defined by somebody's fearlessness and their ability
to... So where's the...
To be free.
See how to word this. This is a question to both of you. Where is the most courageous place that you stepped into, meaning that required you to really shed any type of fear and become fearless within your craft?
Well, you know, it's moment to moment, because I can think.
Just an example of one, so you can share it with.
I got a few already. Yeah,
the listener.
And you know what? I'll even tie in two previous thoughts real quick I was having. As again, we're just talking again. There's so many layers that we're talking about. Culture, you've inspired me to want to write a poem now about reshaping and redefining culture and what that means to us, right? Second of all, leadership. When you say that, like, I used to be afraid of that word. And I know a lot of people listening and watching can relate to that, where I grew up just not the most bold person. I wasn't the most courageous or fearless person, at least in my eyes, right?
Your brother was.
My brother was, for sure. But at the same time, from maybe sometimes a misguided place, right? From an arrogance or like thinking like I need to do something to prove myself sometimes, right? But at the same time, there's a moment where I realize I'm just guiding, you know? Guiding is a form of leadership that I think is underrated, understated. And we all guide each other every day. We all share an idea or share a YouTube thing or something, and we're all trying to guide each other to a better place. And so it took off a lot of that expectation weight for me, you know what I mean? So I wanted to add that into this current question now about fearlessness or how did you say it? Courage? What were you saying?
Well, where you stepped into fearlessness, but what took the most courage?
Yeah,
you know, like you were describing it as that young, you know, where you're like, ooh.
So the first time was at CSUN. Again, in my college experience, we had a big circle of chairs. We'd share each other's poems, had it all typed out, and we'd tear them apart. And we'd say, what does this really mean? Why did you use that word? That word doesn't impact me that much. And we'd say it with respect, with love for the craft, love for each other. Absolutely. We learned that as we were doing it.
Right.
And a shout out to my academics, actually, because there are so many academics that do respect this form of art and this culture right now. Right.
Right.
Dr. Barisi and Leilani Hall were two of my favorite poetry teachers.
Lovely.
And Dawa Harry taught critical reasoning within poetry, which was phenomenal. And so to dive into these places where I knew no one. And then by the end of this semester, we all have either cried at some poem that each other had written. We all really thanked each other for the impact that their feedback gave us. Some of us were already starting to write books already at that age. And we wrote our first chapbooks, which were these small, you know, like less than 20 pages kind of books for a lot of people that don't know what chapbooks are. It's a great way to start out in case you feel like, oh, I have to write a 200-page novel. You know? It really does help to start off small, you know? And I think another time where I remember that feeling where I wrote a poem that was not very popular in the mainstream, where I wanted to give the kind of perspective to understand the kind of other side of things with police brutality, and especially in protests and marches and things like that of that nature, where I was so worried about how this piece was going to be received and the kind of blowback I would get, that I was stuttering more than usual. I had the dry throat thing, all of that was happening. And I'd already done it maybe for about 5 years at this point, right?
Wow.
And I think every time I get that kind of nervousness,
you know it's good.
I know, not that it's just good, right? Good is such one of those like actor words where like, oh yeah, that scene was good. Like, yeah. what, What does that mean?
Yeah, what's beyond okay, right?
In terms of good, we know it was something that needed to be discussed. That we're so focused on one side of issues that we're not really listening to every side of something.
Right.
And at the same time, that doesn't mean I disagree with the overall right or wrong message we're going with. It means I think we should take some more time to listen to this empathetic approach.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, insulting someone with a name is not actually helping things. You know? And I was so afraid to share those kind of thoughts until more people said, hey, you know what? I've kind of been thinking that way too. I wasn't sure if I could say that, you know?
Yeah.
And every time I hear that, it becomes almost like a silent epidemic.
Hmm.
Where so many people don't share these other thoughts that they have the courage that they could build up until they hear someone say it, and now it's stronger.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna fan that more. And it's beautiful every single time, y'all.
This is KLBPLP Long Beach 99.1 FM, broadcasting from Shannon's on Pine and online at KLBP.org.
Yeah.
You just define leadership right there. And even in the academics that you were defending, I was using it derogatorily in terms of somebody stuck in their head. Stuck in an ideology. Nothing more dangerous than a PhD stuck in his ideology, not being able to connect with the actual physiology of the person that he's working with.
What's that?
There's nothing more dangerous than an academic that's stuck in his ideology that can't see outside of his own box that he's only verified through other people's ideas and hasn't had one fresh thought of his own.
Mm.
Because he can't really sense what's going on. But these academics that educated you were able to take a book, move it through them, and inspire you. That's a teacher. That's not an academic stuck in his head. That's somebody who's fully aware of the impact that he's having on his audience.
Got
not
it.
Unlike a performer. Because a great teacher is an entertainer. I had somebody tell me that education doesn't have to be entertaining. Somebody said, I actually heard a professor say that. And I was like, oh my God, you just totally missed the whole boat, buddy. But the point is that,
gosh, wow.
You know, there are those that, and you know, look at PhDs can be dangerous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely are.
But beyond that, if they have that,
a PhD
then they can be
empathy.
Then they can be creative.
We can be more specific, right?
Yeah, but they can be creative. But they can be creative and then discover and actually apply and bring the things together that actually have to happen, as opposed to something somebody else prescribed, something somebody else did that doesn't quite fit what that individual needs. And that's what you're doing as a poet for an audience too.
Yeah, and I do make sure, like, a lot of my poems are either universally received in that way, where I put the academic work into it, I put the poetic devices into it, I put some kind of I do try to break cliches. That was one of the first like pieces of knowledge I ever remember getting from my poetry classes at CSUN, was you never want to say a cliche. Every time you hear something that sounds like, oh yeah, I've heard that, don't want to do that.
Cliche is, if I'm not mistaken, is more a statement of truth.
Stereotypical truth, yes.
As opposed to convention. Yes. I think you're thinking more breaking convention as opposed to...
Yes and no, because in terms of cliches and how we hear them, you know, the sky is so radiant, you know, the sun is so bright, full of life, right?
Those kind of cliches,
unless you reinvent them. That's the only time they said you could use a cliche. And again, these are all things I offer.
What did we say, though, at the beginning, though? Those are just words and symbols.
Just words and symbols, young man.
But what you bring up through those words... Make them no longer a cliche.
Right.
Because now it's how you're expressing it.
So I feel like you're on a mission to make me feel really special.
I don't have to do that. You already are, dude. What do you mean? We're lucky to have you in here.
Ah.
The joy scores, in terms of how we perceive the world, that's what this room is about. Joy score is about reteaching us how to see the world that we live in with fresh pairs of eyes, so that we can maintain our levels of being and be of service and see what needs to be done and take effective action. And that's raising your joy score, because it allows you to, so you and your vocation, you and your passion is by definition the antithesis of what it is that we're seeking in our lives in a moment-to-moment basis. You know, as a poet expresses himself, he has like that freedom, at least in those moments that he's doing his work. And as all artists are most free when they are doing their work, and nor could they even contemplate being without that. And that's what's so beautiful. That's why I love you guys. You're poets. You're poets, you know? And yeah. It's like you said, I want to see that on the page.
Yeah.
Because I might look at that poem for a month and scratch my head like I do with the Tao Te Ching and just scratch my head and I don't get it. But then it's not me getting it. It's me getting to another place within myself in order to see what the artist intended.
Mm, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden, there's like, oh, my God. That's what it was.
Well, and
or maybe that's what it could have been, or that's what it is for me
more,
now.
I think it's more that, because I don't know, within my writing of poetry, I mean, it's an expression. It depends. It's not, you know, sometimes it's like for a group or it's personal, but I always want there to be interpretation. I don't want someone to completely understand. Like, I'm not even writing it from one lens usually, unless it's very personal, like it's, you know, an ode of love, you know. But I want, and even then, everyone's going to have their own interpretation of it, right? But I really actually write from that lens. Like, I just want everyone to have this, like, interaction with it.
That's the beauty of words, and that's the symbols on the page without you supporting it. But that poem somehow captures the essence of the poet.
Absolutely.
And without them being alive, without them being within the vicinity, but somehow that juxtaposition of those symbols in a particular way or particular rhythm sends a message that reflected that individual in that point in time, like making past time present. Once you write it down, it's already in the past. Now it's sitting in a computer, it's sitting somewhere else. Until what? Until a poet grabs it and makes it live again.
Mm.
Makes it present through their presence.
Or a performing artist.
Yeah.
Through the, you know, they grasp that past. And they bring it back up through them, and boom, it's here again.
So, Thomas, we know you know some passages. Can you give us a little right now?
Mm. I don't know.
See if something comes
put
up.
Put me on the spot.
We'll see if it rises
that already,
up.
That are, have like really profound responses to right now already to what we're all talking about. Have we all seen A Star Is Born?
Yes.
Wow, right?
That movie personified what it's like to be an artist, especially a musician, in such a beautiful way, in a real way. That it reminded me of how much we should also practice not letting words affect us.
Mm,
and how much we need to practice knowing ourselves enough to be able to shut certain things out that are not feeding us properly. And you kind of made me think about that with how much we're open as artists and we're so vulnerable and we care so much about these words and each other. And at the same time, if someone doesn't know how to do that for us, whether it be relationships or politics or whatever we want to talk about,
right,
to practice that form of, I'm not going to let that affect me. I'm going to stay focused and present. I'm going to still care about this person, even though what they just said was mind-blowingly, infuriatingly insulting and decimating to my core.
Well, we talked about that a little bit earlier.
It matters to the point where we can still continue that dialogue, but take that moment for ourselves.
Yeah,
that's so vital. Again, we're talking about life or death. A lot of people say words don't matter or words, you know, won't break my bones. But words can do worse than that. We know that now.
Yeah.
Words can decimate a soul and don't need to break your bones.
Yeah.
You're right. So that's what I wanted to kind of, you made me think of that immediately. So thank you for
sharing. Like there's something like as you ask it, as you ask a performer, like there's a piece written by an extraordinarily famous car designer.
Hmm.
Right. And for him, this was his poetry. And he based his entire philosophy and motivation towards his audience that would eventually drive his car. And it goes, time cannot be influenced by mankind. It gives each of us a beginning and an end. And this makes us question the significance of what comes in between. But if we can create something truly timeless, something which ignores the eccentricities of a particular time or era, that would be the ultimate victory.
I like that.
And that's a piece of poetry from an automobile maker by the name of Ferdinand Porsche.
Hmm.
Or was that a poem from a poet who happens to make automobiles?
I think so.
You know what I mean? Right? Because in my world, I see us all as poets, right? And we don't know it yet. And then we're defining these people as their job or profession, right? I love the way you put that, though. Thank you. Thank you for even having that moment.
But even having seen that one time before,
right?
And even probably since then, seen it on a commercial.
Yeah.
You know, they take it and they use it and they exploit it.
Yes, they do.
If I think about my journey in terms of what it was that I was doing, I could take that and I could say that to myself. And I could recenter myself. Time cannot be influenced by mankind. It gives us a beginning and an end. And for me, that was a sense of my own mortality. You know, and I think it's probably that first line that hooked me. Time cannot be influenced by mankind. It gives each of us a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
And this makes us question the significance of what comes in between. It's like, wow, man, action and cut. Yeah. It's like life is action and cut. And that's it. And that's what we got. And we can make something of it and put our best foot forward and motivate ourselves to see the world with fresh pair of eyes every day. And that's a simple, you know, he's not the poet of poets. And of course you have Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I mean, how clearly can you state the cliche of Hamlet? And his own personal struggle to deal with his inner demons and his ability to try to figure out to be or not to be.
That is the question.
Oh my God. You're in my mind.
Whether it's nobler in the mind to suffer
the slings and arrows
of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles
and by opposing enemy.
To die, to sleep.
To sleep. To sleep perchance to dream.
Oh! Tingle! Tingle!
There's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come once we are shuffled off this mortal coil. I think I missed a phrase in there.
Yeah,
to die, to sleep.
Yeah.
To sleep perchance to dream.
It's close enough, though. We got it.
We got
it. And did we all know that was the influence for the movie What Dreams May Come?
I mean, that's a writer and poet.
Yeah,
but you know, a lot of people look at it like he chose to. Oh, sure, he chose to be. No, he didn't. He screwed up.
But isn't that the whole that's the whole irony of how much we discuss these things to the point where it's supposed to affect us.
Absolutely.
Supposed to change our lives, right?
Yeah.
And I love how you even brought up that example of us debating back and forth about those things, and it reminds me of that Bruce Lee quote, right, about staring at the moon, and he's like, look, and he's like, don't look at my finger. Or you will miss all that heavenly glory, right? And it was such a beautiful moment to remind us, stop looking at the thing that's teaching us how to look at the thing.
Right.
Enjoy the thing.
Yes.
Enjoy this life.
Yes.
Figure out this life for you, right?
Yeah.
And it's such a frustratingly beautiful thing, you know? Like, it's a happy frustration for me.
Absolutely.
And look at all the joy that we have reflecting back on these great poems.
We all have like big smiles on our face.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the beauty. That's the beauty of it all.
So share, because he has a couple exciting things. He suddenly is surprised that he's writing a book.
I'm on my Patreon page right now.
Yeah.
That I have not launched yet, because it's a direct tool to actually communicate with people that want to utilize workshops, my albums, anything they want to invest in me as an artist, and I invest back in them as an audience member. It's almost like a stock kind of thing, but we're human beings.
Right.
Right? So
this is the launch.
This is the official
launch. You're doing
launch
it right now.
Right now.
I'm going to paste it.
No, she's not.
Get ready, y'all.
We're going to launch. Wait a second.
We got a ring.
We got a ring.
I knew you would be the right
one. So we have a launch going on
three.
Here.
Three. I'm clicking it.
Are you going? Are you
I'm
live?
I'm clicking it.
Zoom in.
Is it under your name or Let's Bend Reality?
Hold it up a little bit.
It should be under Let's Bend Reality. Yes. Patreon.com/Let's Bend Reality to also announce that I'm writing a second book. And it's going to be all solo poetry this time around. Every workshop I was in this last year with my friend James Kyson and other people like Jeff Walker, these other friends of mine that are amazing artists as well, they would say, hey, that poem was amazing. Like, you should put that into your next book. And once I get that, you know, 20 times in a few months, I'm kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
The universe is telling you.
And so I'm at this point now where I think not just from what people are saying, but I did have a genuine urge to make sure that I left a full, complete library of poetry that I know I could say I gave this to the world. I offered world peace through inner peace. And I made sure every single tool that's necessary to attain that is within this book.
You are listening to the Indie Creators in the Joy Zone on KLBP Long Beach Public Radio on 99.1 FM and online at klbp.org. This is your hosts, Suzanne Toro and Thomas Artavani.